This morning, we're launching a brand new series, which I'm very excited about. It's called The Life You Long For. And it's actually taken out of the most popular passage of Scripture, Psalm 23. And you'll find under your seat, if you want to grab this, the whole passage of Psalm 23. And we're going to be talking over the next 3 weeks of how this paints a picture of the life that we all long to live, and that God has actually provided it to us through the death of his Son, through the resurrection, and through the sending of the Spirit. And you'll find on the back a beautiful picture of a local artist. His name's Chad Austin, and there's a beautiful painting that I think helps us envision how our soul, how God wants to begin to turn our soul towards this life we long for. And so you can take this card, put it in your Bible, meditate upon Psalm 23 this week and the next couple weeks, and I pray that the Lord is going to do an amazing work. But let's go ahead and get right into it by reading our passage in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. And actually, normally we read out of the NIV. Today we're going to be reading out of the ESV, because many people know Psalm 23, but many people know some of the traditional language, so the ESV does a good job at that. So if you'd like to, instead of open up your Bibles, unless you have an ESV, you can use this card to read together the entirety of Psalm 23 together. So let's read the 23rd Psalm. This is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have provided a new life for us, a life that everybody longs for. You've given us the secret to living the good life. Lord, I just pray this morning that as we reflect on the 23rd Psalm, as we reflect on our own lives, you'd bring these two things together by your Spirit. Lord, that you would speak to us intimately about the ways in which you want to come to us and move us to greater love and discipleship towards you. So, Lord, we just open our hearts together this morning, and we just ask for you to speak. In Jesus' name we pray, and your church says, amen. You know, it's an interesting time we live in today. This is really hard to believe, but it's actually true that the average person today holds more knowledge in their pocket than a U.S. president had 25 years ago. I mean, think about it. We live in an interesting age. We have more comfort than royalty had a century ago. We have more convenience than we even know what to do with. And yet, if you ask someone how they're doing, the answer is nearly universal: I'm tired. Tired of all the decisions. Tired of the noise. Maybe we're not in crisis, not collapsing, but just quietly, constantly drained. So why, with so much, do we feel often so empty? Because it's not the kind of tired that we just need a little bit more sleep. We need another good nap. It's the kind of a deeper tired. It's soul tired. We have new alerts all the time. We have new goals, new pressures. The inbox fills, the schedule shifts, the feed scrolls. And we're expected to keep up with the constant pace of our lives. And if you look a little closer, you'll notice what's really behind all of the pressure, which is self-sufficiency. From the time we're kids, the message is clear, at least for many of us. Be independent. Stand on your own two feet. Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. Make it happen. And honestly, that can sound pretty empowering. Until you realize the subtext is this: you have to be everything. You have to be your own sense of purpose. You have to be your peace. You have to be your direction and your worth. And that quiet pressure is whispering, it's all on you. And if it's all on you, what happens when you are running on empty? Well, as we all know, we continue just to run on empty. Because the truth is, a lot of us are doing that. Our culture today is more focused than ever on self-help, personal growth, and constant advice from therapy, productivity hacks, and podcasts, and the rest. Yet deep down, so many of us are still starved for wisdom. In response, we're asking the same thing, probably not out loud, but quietly. We're asking, is there a way to live that doesn't feel like this? And let me tell you the good news this morning. According to the 23rd Psalm, there is a life available to you that you have always longed for. And finding it means recognizing the real problem isn't just the world we live in, but it's that we've become much too like it, forgetting the life that we've actually been created for. And the life we were created for is not where we are the source of our own purpose, peace, direction, or worth. We were made to be under the care of the Good Shepherd. Verse 1, as we just read in Psalm 23, says it plainly, "The Lord is my shepherd." This morning, I want to encourage you, let those words wash over you. The poet who wrote this line, David, didn't say, "The Lord is a distant force." He didn't say, "The Lord is a consultant I check in with occasionally." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, a shepherd doesn't bark instructions from a distance. A shepherd lives with his sheep. A shepherd leads the sheep, watches over the sheep, fights for the sheep, finds them when they wander, lays down his life to protect the sheep. And when we understand that, the imagery makes a lot of sense of what David's trying to say here. Because sheep don't make maps. They don't feel the pressure to strategize every element of their lives. They don't set vision or cast five-year plans. Sheep are led. And when they try to go it alone, they get lost, right? And friends, what if that is us? What if the reason that you're exhausted or overwhelmed isn't because you're a failure, but because you're trying to do a job your soul was never meant to do? Friends, you were never created to shepherd yourself. You were created to be shepherded. Something freeing here is to recognize that the 23rd Psalm doesn't begin with action. It begins with belonging. Before we are told what to do, we're told what? Whose we are. And if you belong to the shepherd, then you don't have to live every day guessing. You don't have to build your own identity from scratch. You don't have to perform for your worth. You don't have to pretend you're always at your best. Actually, you can rest. You can follow, and you can be known. You know, in Australia, there's a recent story about rescuers coming across a sheep whose name was Barak. He was abandoned, overgrown, and burdened by over 75 pounds of matted wool. He had been wandering alone throughout the wilderness for who knows how long. And without a shepherd to care for him, his fleece just kept growing and growing, kind of like some of y'all's hair during COVID. And by the time that he was found and cared for by a sanctuary staff at Edgar's Mission, he needed a much-needed shearing. And so they removed a staggering 78 pounds of wool. Now, a video of this dramatic transformation went viral on TikTok, viewed over 18.5 million times. But beneath the thick wool, there was something actually much more troubling that they discovered, was that Barak, although you couldn't see it from the outside, he was very malnourished. Underneath all of that wool, he was very underweight, despite his heavy exterior. And the wool had grown up over his face, blinding his vision. And dirt and debris had collected so severely around his eyes that it caused a painful ulcer. But left much longer, the buildup of wool, manure, and moisture could have led to serious infections and even death. Because sheep were never meant to carry all of that by themselves. There's a reason sheep need shepherds, right? And friends, you are often not meant to carry as much as you do. We might look like we're carrying it all, but under the weight, if we look close enough, Jesus sees how malnourished and impaired and hurting we are, like Barak. Without the constant tender care of the shepherd in our lives, we start accumulating burdens that weigh on us and that end up causing us to become more and more and more malnourished. Emotional weight, spiritual confusion, layers of pride, fear, and exhaustion begin to build up in our lives. And left unchecked, it doesn't just weigh us down, but actually it wounds us. Notice here that Psalm 23 doesn't call us to be strong sheep. It calls us to be sheep who are led. Because the Lord is my shepherd, we can say, I shall not want. Now, this phrase doesn't mean I never feel desire. It doesn't mean I get everything I ask for. But it does mean I will not be left in lack. The Hebrew verb here used suggests severe deficiency. David is saying essentially, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not have to be found wanting for what I most need. Notice this cause and effect logic here. Because God is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He doesn't arrive at peace by achieving more or knowing more or fixing his circumstances or having a greater level of control. He arrives at peace by being under the care of God. And this radical reversal of our cultural instincts is taking place in this text. David is not in control here. God is. And that's actually not terrifying to him. He finds it liberating. It's so liberating, he says, that he can lie down in green pastures. There's a classic book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a great little book. It's authored by a former shepherd named Philip Keller. And he offers powerful insight to the 23rd Psalm because I don't know about you or me, but I'm not hanging around a sheep a lot. But he has, and so was David. And one thing that he shows us through his book is that sheep actually do not lie down easily. In fact, sheep will only lie down and rest when they feel completely safe. And I think that's significant because it reminds us how much peace and protection must be present in our lives for true rest to actually happen. Anybody try to go to sleep and your mind just starts spinning and you just cannot stop thinking about your to-do list or you can't stop replaying that conversation or the conversation you have to have later or whatever it may be, and you might be laying down but you're not at rest. The sheep only lays down when they know they are cared for and they can rest. I think that's significant because David's saying here, he makes me lie down, not by force, but by provision. He supplies so much of what is needed that we naturally want to begin to lay down and rest. And where does he do it? In green pastures. If you look at this beautiful painting, one of the reasons I was drawn to it is because this painting helps us envision the place internally that God wants to lead us. If you look at your own soul, does your own soul look a bit like this? Or does it look more like an abstract painting of reds and oranges going everywhere? I don't know about you, but mine often doesn't feel like that. But that's where God wants to lead us. He doesn't just provide lush pastures. He also provides, the psalmist says, peaceful streams or still waters. Something else Philip Keller tells us is that sheep are easily frightened by turbulent water. Even when thirsty, they'll avoid rushing streams because of the fear. So shepherds have to lead their sheep toward still waters, quiet pools. Sometimes they even have to create them by digging a channel or damming a stream to create the perfect environment for their sheep to feel at peace to drink. And so David's saying here is that God doesn't just quench our thirst. He does it without panic. He leads us to places where we can drink deeply without fear. In other words, and hear this, he is attuned to your sensitivities. He comes to you in ways that he knows you will be led. He's relational. He's a loving shepherd. He knows that we're not as brave or self-sufficient as we pretend to be. And so he leads us to stillness. And then we get this phrase here where David says, he restores my soul. Now, when we talk about the soul in church, I think it's necessary to talk about how most of us, many of us, have grown up with this vague idea of the soul. We think about it as like this ghost inside of us. That the real you is something invisible that floats off to heaven as you die. It's the kind of thing you see in cartoons, right? Or maybe here at funerals. And the message is that the body's just a shell, and what really matters is your soul inside of you. And that view sounds really spiritual, but actually it owes more to the ancient Greek philosopher named Plato and to current pop culture depictions than to actually the Bible. It turns faith into kind of an escape plan, right? That where the goal is to really leave this physical world behind and drift into some disembodied afterlife. And if that's how we see things, then we will read Psalms 23 about mostly about comfort after death. He restores my soul ends up sounding like God's just taking care of our ghost selves while our bodies are dying and eventually left behind. But the Bible actually paints a much fuller, richer, more grounded picture of who we are as people. See, we're not souls trapped in bodies. We're whole people. The Bible doesn't treat body, soul, and spirit like separate compartments we can piece out. They're different ways of talking about the same whole person that God has made. You, fully alive, fully human, created for a spiritual, embodied existence here and now. The soul isn't just one part of the puzzle. It's the word Scripture often uses to talk about your whole self. In the New Testament, we're told that our hope is in the resurrection of the dead. We will resurrect like Jesus did, with new bodily existence and a new heavens and a new earth. It's a spiritualized, embodied second life. So when David says, he restores my soul, he's not imagining God tending to some invisible part of him. He's talking about his whole life, his desires, his fears, his body, his direction, his spirit being brought together, recentered under the shepherd's care. The green pastures and still waters aren't code for heaven someday. They're pictures of what life looks when we follow the shepherd today. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus means when he says something similar in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says this, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Friends, the good shepherd wants to give you rest for your whole self. He wants to restore your soul. But in order for that to happen, we must allow him to lead us. So ask yourselves this morning, am I allowing Christ to lead me? Something important here is where and the Spirit leads us and why it's important to understand how the shepherd speaks to us. In parts of the Middle East today, you can actually still witness a scene much like the ones that the biblical authors would have seen many, many, many years ago, where shepherds are bringing all of their flocks back from the fields at the end of the day, and oftentimes multiple small flocks will gather at the same watering hole around dusk, creating a blur of sheep all mingled together. Sometimes 8 or 9 flocks in one place with many different shepherds around. But here's the significant part, is that the shepherds aren't concerned about the mixing up of the sheep. Because when it's time to leave, each shepherd gives a distinct call, a whistle, maybe a tune on a reed pipe, or just his voice, and their own sheep respond. Out of the chaos, the sheep recognizes their shepherd's unique call and begin to follow their shepherd. See, they don't follow just any sound. They follow the voice they know because they know that voice is the voice they can trust. Friends, let me encourage you, tune your heart to recognize your shepherd's voice. Not the voices of fear or performance or shame, but the steady call of the one who knows your name. And when you hear him, trust him enough to follow him, even when the path feels uncertain, because his voice always leads to life. Jesus says this in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." See, not only does David use this imagery of shepherding, but so does Jesus. In fact, this image of shepherding is woven throughout the entire story of the Bible. So when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's stepping into this grand narrative sweep of the entire Bible, one that begins in the wilderness, where God is tending to his flock, taking them out of slavery, and it culminates and is fulfilled in the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. But still, we need to internalize this, and so we're still left with questions such as, how do I actually live in step with the shepherd? How do I follow his voice in a world full of noise? Anybody ever ask those questions? It just feels so loud. It feels like my attention is being called from every corner. How do I actually do this practically day in and day out? You know, so far we've talked about the world we live in, one of exhaustion, one of self-dependency. And we've also talked about the kind of God being revealed in Psalm 23, one that we actually can be cared for by. But here's the ultimate question is, what kind of Savior do we have? And what does it mean to follow him today? And the answer comes not only in Psalm 23, but it comes in the voice of Jesus Christ himself. 1,000 years after David wrote these words, Jesus stood before a crowd of spiritually hungry, harassed people, and he said this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." It's John 10:11. See, Jesus is actually claiming Psalm 23. He's stepping into David's ancient poetry and saying, "That's me. I'm the shepherd that your heart longs for and is always needed." I want to sit with this for a moment. The Lord of the universe, who spoke galaxies into being, who holds all things together under his sovereign care, came as a shepherd for your soul. Not high above, but close beside. Not shouting commands from the clouds, but walking among the sheep, calling them by name. And then he did the unthinkable. He gave his life up for the sheep. John puts it this way in John 1:29. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is what's interesting, is that Jesus is both shepherd and lamb. He's the one who leads us, and he's also the one who lays down his life for us. So when David says, "He restores my soul," he had no idea just how far the shepherd would go to restore us. When he said, "He leads me in paths of righteousness," he could not have imagined the day when righteousness himself would walk in human flesh and die on a cross to give us the path home. Friends, this isn't just poetic. This is personal for every single one of us. So let me speak directly to you. Some of you are tired. Some of you are trying to lead yourself and it just hasn't worked. Or maybe it's worked too well, but you feel like a shell of a person. You've wandered, maybe. You've worn yourself out trying to be enough, to know enough, to produce enough, to be enough. And Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. And he doesn't roll his eyes in disappointment. He doesn't just say, figure it out. He says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the voice of your shepherd. That's the voice of your shepherd. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are standing at a crossroads in our lives, unsure what to do, where to go, maybe how to make a decision. Maybe you feel paralyzed by uncertainty, confused by too many voices. And the good news is that Jesus is not far off. He promises that if you tune your ear towards him, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jesus' leadership is not vague. His spirit is not silent. The spirit leads personally, patiently, perfectly. And some of you, if you're honest, have maybe wandered. You've left the path, maybe not in visible rebellion, but in sort of this subtle drift that happens. It's been months, it's been maybe years since you really attuned your ear to the shepherd and allowed him to actually lead you. Maybe you feel ashamed or hesitant, like maybe you've gone too far. But hear this, the shepherd will leave the 99 to find the one. He's pursuing you not to punish you, but to restore you, to put you on his shoulders and carry you with tenderness back to the fold. So for each one of us, what does it mean to live with Jesus as my shepherd, really, practically, right now? Well, as we process this together and we move towards concluding this time of scripture reflection, let me give you three words to take with you today. The first one is this, is to listen. Listen for his voice. Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. But that means we actually have to slow down enough to listen to his voice. That may mean rethinking your daily rhythms. Where does his word live in my week? Where does it live in my morning? Where am I carving out time, not just to read a verse, but to actually be still enough to hear the voice of the shepherd for my life? We talked about these Lectio Divina journals. These are things that we're losing money on. The only reason we created them is for you to begin to learn how to slowly read with an ear attuned to God. This week, I want to encourage you to take this card that we've given you under the seat and meditate on this psalm in the morning. Memorize it even. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't have hardly anything memorized anymore. I used to know 20 numbers in my brain. But now we don't have to know phone numbers. So memorizing is something so foreign to us. But I'll tell you what, when you memorize a passage of Scripture and you need it and you can recall it, and there's something about, oh yeah, can I just look at my smartphone? Yeah, but there's something about internalizing it. I encourage you to take time with it this week. So the first word is listen. The second word is follow. Follow his lead. Psalm 23 doesn't picture sheep sitting in place. It pictures sheep being led. See, Jesus following means movement. So ask yourself this morning, are there places that where he's been calling you and you've resisted? Maybe it's a step of obedience. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's confessing sin. Maybe it's releasing control over your life. Maybe it's leaving something comfortable because it's not godly. The shepherd knows where the green pastures are. Even if the path feels narrow or scary or steep, trust him because he will lead you in the right path. And finally, the third word I want to lead you with is rest. Rest in his care. You know, you don't have to figure out your whole life right now. You don't have to impress Jesus. You don't have to manufacture peace. You don't have to fix yourself before coming to him. In fact, all you have to do is just come and allow the Lord to help you lie down in peace, because you're safe and he is here to restore your soul. So let me end with this. None of us were meant to carry the weight of our own lives. None of us were made to lead ourselves. None of us were made to perform or strive or achieve our way into peace. Every single one of us were made to be shepherded. You were made to belong to Christ. So this morning, can we allow Psalm 23 to be more than poetry for us? Can we allow it to be a now word for each one of us to live into the care that the Good Shepherd wants to have for us? This morning, as we move into reflection, can we just close our eyes and get into a posture that makes you feel comfortable to commune with the Lord? You know, like I've said many times, one of the oldest forms of prayer is actually open hands. It's even older than clasped hands. Open hands before the Lord, and we can do that internally as well. Let's ask the Lord this question. Holy Spirit, where in my life am I still trying to be my own shepherd? Invite the Spirit to expose areas where you're striving for control, self-sufficiency, or carrying burdens not meant for you to carry. Holy Spirit, where in my life am I trying to be my own shepherd? Secondly, Holy Spirit, what is one way you're inviting me to rest in Jesus this week? Look for where he wants to lead you, into green pastures and still waters. Places of quiet trust and surrender. Spirit, where are you inviting me to rest in you this week? And finally, Holy Spirit, whose voice am I following most? And how can I better hear yours? Ask for discernment this morning. Is his voice being drowned out by noise or fear or distraction? What needs to be silenced in your life so that we can better hear the Lord's? Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd, faithful, strong, gentle, and near. You do not leave us to wander alone. You do not tire of our weakness and our neediness. You call us by name and lead us with wisdom and love. Lord, forgive us for all the ways we've tried to lead ourselves, for the pressure we've put on our shoulders, and for the voices that we followed that are not yours. Lord, where we're restless, give us rest and stillness. Where we're confused, give us clarity. And for where we are weary, give us rest, not just for our bodies, but for our hearts. Lord, teach us to lie down, to listen, to follow, and to trust that you are truly enough. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we move toward communion this morning, Lord, we realize we come before you not because we earn it, but because you paid for it. Lord, this cup and bread are not for the perfect. They're for the hungry, for the tired, for the burdened, for the broken. And so, Lord, we come this morning in gratitude. We recognize this morning, Lord, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by also what we have left undone. We haven't loved you with our whole heart. We haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves. And Lord, we are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your way to the glory of your name. So Lord, we offer these gifts to you, the cup and the bread. We ask that you'd sanctify them to be by your Holy Spirit for us, your people, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, the holy food and drink of a new and unending life in Christ. Let us take the bread, Jesus' body broken for us. And let us take the cup, Jesus' blood spilled for you. Amen. You know, if Psalm 23 shows us anything, it's that we are not meant to carry our lives alone. The shepherd has come and found us. He has freed us, and he wants to lead us home. So as we respond in worship this morning, I want us to allow this next song to be a song of confession and comfort, that his grace has not only saved us, but broken every chain that we've tried to carry on our own. Let's stand together and let's sing Amazing Grace. Lord, we just thank you that indeed, God, you have granted us your grace, not just a grace of general forgiveness, but Lord, a grace that empowers us to live an empowered life, a life of obedience, a life of rest in the care of the Good Shepherd. So Lord, we just take that truth and internalize it today. But Lord, this week, you have taken care, you've paid the ultimate price to make us yours. And therefore, God, we can truly surrender ourselves to your care to this morning. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for your presence here. And we bless you for blessing us. Thank you, Lord. If we can have the prayer teams come forward. Maybe there's something the Lord's just working in you, spoken to you this morning, or maybe you've come in here with, and the Lord, and you need someone to just pray for you, to love on you, to bring you to Jesus, bring you to his feet. Come and allow one of these precious people just to pray with you this morning. And church, as you leave today, leave as people who follow the shepherd, who listen for his voice, who rest under his care. And in lieu of a normal benediction this morning, I want us to once again read Psalm 23 together as an act of faith. And I want to encourage you to allow the Lord to just wash his grace over you. Whatever line he wants to speak to you, just be open for the Spirit's washing over you this morning. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us walk following the Good Shepherd this week. Thank you, everyone. See you next week.